Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the medium lines under the Tosfos. You will notice the first of those lines, the first of the lines after the narrow lines of the Gemara. We are picking up the Gemara in the middle of a story, a rather dramatic story, in which we saw Rabban Gamliel, who was the Nasi, was the leader of the Jewish people of his time. He was the Rosh Yeshiva as well. He was impeached from office as a result of causing pain and embarrassment to Rabbi Yehoshua. And the last point we had learned was that even though Rabbi Gamliel had been removed from office, nevertheless, he remained in the Beis Medrash studying Torah and didn't miss even 1 hour of study. And to illustrate that, the Gemara continues on the, as we say, the first line after the narrow lines of the Gemara. Disnan bo yibayoim bo Yehuda ger amoni lifnei beBeis HaMedrash. That day that Rabbi Gamliel had been impeached, a halachic question came up. A gentleman called named Yehuda, who was a ger amoni, came in front of them. Omar lehem ma'ani lavo bakohol. I am a convert from the Ammon nation. Can I marry into the Jewish people? Amar le Rav Gamliel, also ato lavo bakol. You are forbidden to marry a woman, a Jewish woman. Amar le Rabbi Yeshua, muter ato lavo bakol. Rabbi Yeshua says, you are allowed. Amar le Rav Gamliel, v'lo kvar nemar lo yavo amoni u'moavi b'kal Hashem. Rav Gamliel, who said he is forbidden, is it not said in the pasuk that a man from Ammon or Moav cannot marry into the Jewish people? Amale, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua responded, "V'chi Ammon u'Moav b'mekoimon hein yoshvin." Do you think that the original Ammon and Moav people, concerning whom the Torah, in fact, forbade their joining the Jewish people, do you think that these are the same original peoples? V'halo yikvar olo Sancheriv melech Ashur. The Assyrian king Sancheriv already came and overran this entire region, the whole Middle East. Ubilbel es kol ha'umos, and he confounded through population transfer. He mixed up all of the peoples. Shenemar, the posuk in regard to Sancheriv says, V'asir gvulos amim v'asi doseim shosesi v'orid kabir yoshvim. That is a posuk indicating how he overran the different nations, and his method of conquest was through population transfer. V'chol de porish miruba porish, and there is a halachic rule that anything that gets separated, that gets removed from and replaced, comes from the majority. So that since there was massive population transfer, and someone that is found in what's now the current Ammon and Moab region, he probably came from one of those other nations that represented the majority of humanity, as opposed to being someone who came from the original Ammon or Moab people. So Rabbi Yeshua is saying that here's a man who presents himself as Yehuda, Ger Ammoni, Yehuda, who was a convert from the area of Ammon. He may very well have come from the geographical area of Ammon, but as a result of population transfer, he is not a member of the original Ammon people that were forbidden to marry into the Jewish people. Amar loy Rabbi Gamliel, v'alo kvar ne'amar v'achrei chen oshiv es shivus b'nei amon u'mashem, u'kvar shavu. Does it not say in the pasuk that afterwards, at a later point, I will return the captives of Ammon to their place, and they have returned? Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, v'alo kvar ne'amar v'shavti es shivus ami Yisrael v'adayin lo shavu. But the pasuk also says that I will return the Jewish people to their land, and they have not returned yet. There hasn't been an ingathering of the Jews yet. So just like that hasn't taken place yet, the ingathering of, or the restoration of the Ammon people, is also something that you cannot say has taken place. Miyad hitiruhu lova bokol. At that point, the assembly voted or granted permission for him, for this gentleman Yehuda Ger Amoni, to marry into the Jewish people. Omar Rabban Gamliel, Hoyo v'hochi have, since this is the way things are going. In other words, he sees that he was deposed from office, and he also sees that the halachic ruling, they are following the rulings of Rabbi Yehoshua. Ezel v'faiseg Rabbi Yehoshua, I'm going to go and appease Rabbi Yehoshua. In other words, I'm going to beg forgiveness for my having caused him such pain. Kimot lebeisei, when Rabbi Gamliel arrived at Rabbi Yeshua's house, chazinu la'ashisa debeisei the mishachron. Rabbi Gamliel noticed, chazinu, he saw the ashisa, the walls of the house of Rabbi Yeshua, were black. They were darkened or black. Omar lei, so Rabbi Gamliel says, mikos lebeischa taniku shepechomi ata. From the appearance of the walls of your house, you appear to be a pechomi. Rashi has two pshatim on pechomi. One is a person who manufactures coals, or he is a blacksmith. And with these are different occupations that would cause a blackening of one's walls. Amar lei, so Rabbi Yehoshua says, oy lo ledor shato parnasoi. Woe unto the generation that you are its leader. She'i ato yodeh v'tzar shel tamid chachomim. That you don't know how you don't know of the struggles of Talmid Chachamim, how they manage to barely support themselves. In other words, the domestic conditions under which Rabbi Yehoshua lived were greatly limited, and hence the care and the upkeep of his house was far from desirable, and that's why it had this black impression, and not because of his profession whatsoever. Omar lo, nenesi loch, I humble myself to you, says Rabbi Gamliel. Mecholi, forgive me. Lo ashkach bei. Rabbi Yeshua did not heed his beseechings. So Rabbi Gamliel said, "Asay b'shvil kvod Abba." So at least forgive me for the honor of my father. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel was a descent from previous Nisim, previous leaders of the Jewish people. So if for my sake you don't want to accept my appeasement, at least for the honor of my father, that had an effect. So P.A.C., he appeased him. He granted his request and accepted his apologies. Omru man nezel v'leim alul rabbonan. So now the issue is the restoration of Rabbi Gamliel to his office. After all, if the wronged party is now forgiving, it would make sense that the situation should be reversed and Rabbi Gamliel should be reinstated. And the question now came up, who is going to go tell the Rabbonon of our improved relationship? Omar luhu ahu koyves ano azilno. A koyves is a washer, a washman. He said, "I will go." Shalach luhu Rabbi Yeshua lebei midrasha. So Rabbi Yeshua sent through this messenger a message to the Beis Medrash that is in a, we'll say it in an analogy form, in a mushal form. Man delovish mado yilbash mado. The one who was accustomed to wearing the uniform. Mado is a uniform. In this case, it's a reference to he who was accustomed to being the leader, the king, the president. So he is deserving to wear the royal raiments. Uman delo lovish mado, one who isn't accustomed to wearing it. Yemar lei lemado lovish mado, would he say, we speak in a tone of wonderment here, would he say to the one who is accustomed to wearing it, shlach madcho v'ana al b'shei, take off your uniform and I shall wear it? So this was the message and the idea here being that Rav Gamliel is the one who is accustomed to having the royal garments and not some newcomer. In this case, the newcomer would be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So the message is Rabbi Gamliel should be reinstated and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah should be removed. Omar Lahu, Rabbi Akiva the Rabbanon. Rabbi Akiva, who was part of the assembly, said to the other scholars, Troku goli de lo lesu avdi de Rav Gamliel v'litzaru le Rabbanon. As you will recall, just a couple of lines before, Rabbi Yeshua sent a message with a koves. A koves, he said, was a washman. He was apparently identified as being part of the household of Rav Gamliel, part of the servants, the service group that served in the house of Rav Gamliel. So Rabbi Akiva said, you see that guy coming, he's a member of the staff of Rav Gamliel's house, lock Trokugoli, lock the door so that the servants of Rav Gamliel, who would ostensibly represent Rav Gamliel, so that they shouldn't come in and cause us to be upset. In other words, they in the Beis Medrash, they didn't know what happened. Consolation that took place between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. They were not aware of it, and all they saw was a messenger from the house of Rabbi Gamliel coming. So their assumption was he's coming to bother us because we had deposed their master. So that didn't work. Omar Rabbi Yeshua, realizing that it didn't work, Rabbi Yeshua said, "Mutav the Eikum the Ezel Ano Lagabayo, better that I should get up and go to them." And in other words, if I go and I was the wronged party, and I will tell them about our getting back together, so that'll be more effective. Also, Torah Abova, he came and knocked on the door of the Beis Medrash. Omar Lahu, and he said to them. And again, we're going to see an analogy, and our recommendation is to look at the Marsha, who elaborates on the nature of this analogy. But for our purposes, we're not going to spend time on the analogy per se, other than to say that it's again an appeal to them that the one who is a regular in the position of Nisius and who is from the house of David, one should be aware that the office of Nasi is something that was passed down generation after generation, tracing itself back to King David, and the roots of that go back to Shevet Yehuda, that was promised to be the source of kings and leaders. So Rabbi Yeshua comes and says as follows, Maze ben Maze Yazeh. The word Maze is someone who sprinkles. It's often associated with one who sprinkles blood on the Mizbeach, which is a Kohen is in charge of that. And Rashi makes reference to one who sprinkles the water of purification. In the case of Tumas Meis, we call it the Mei Chatos. So the one who sprinkles, who is the son of a sprinkler, so he should continue his role of sprinkling. that's mazeh ben mazeh yazeh v'she'eno, but someone who is lo mazeh v'lo ben mazeh, he's not a sprinkler and he's not the son of a sprinkler. Could it possibly be that yoimar lemazeh ben mazeh, should he, the one who is a non mazeh, say to the one who is himself a mazeh and the descendant of a mazeh, should he say to him, meimecho meim orav efrecho efer makle, that your waters are simply waters from a cave, meaning they're not the formal mei chatos, waters of purification, and the efer that is the ash that's mixed in to create the waters of purification, you need to have the ashes of a red cow, of efer poraduma. Should he say that your ash is should the one who is a non-official sprinkler say to the one who is, you know, your ashes are no good and your water is no good for this purpose? Obviously not. But once again, for our purposes, the Rabbi Yeshua is saying the one who is traditionally in the office of Nasi, and who is the descendant of Nasiim, he should be in office and not Rebbe Lozer ben Azariah, who, after all, was a Kohen, and a Kohen is not entitled to be a king. Kings came from Shevet Yehuda, not from the Kuna. The Marshal points out that the attempt in history to have Kohanim serving as kings led to a disastrous reign of the, or regime of the Hashmonaim family. So the Gemara goes on, Omar Le Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva turns to Rabbi Yeshua and says, Rabbi Yeshua, nispayasta, it seems that have you been appeased? Klum osino elo b'shvil kvodcha. All of what we have done till now was for your honor. Lamochar ani v'ato nashkim l'pischo. Tomorrow you and I, says Rabbi Akiva, will get up early to the door of, to speak, to inform Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah of the new developments. Amri, hechi navid. So they said, what should we do? Na'avre, should we impeach, should we depose him, should we remove Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Gemiri, we have a tradition, ma'alin b'kodesh v'ein moridin, that once something is elevated to a higher position, it is not to be lowered. Nidrosh mor chado shabata, the mor chado shabata, should one, we have your Rabbi Gamliel, say the public address on one Shabbos, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the public address on the next Shabbos, meaning they should they alternate one Shabbos like that? No, that's not an idea. That's not a reasonable suggestion either. Osi the kanuye. This will cause jealousy. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel, who is a formal leader and a descendant of leaders, will see someone who is serving in an equal capacity to him. That will only cause him to become full of kino is translated often as jealousy, or it'll cause strife. Ella, the suggestion is Lidroish Rav Gamliel Tarti Shabbati Rav Elazar ben Azariah Chado Shabbato, in order to have your cake and eat it too, so that you have Rav Elazar ben Azariah not being removed. He will darshan every third week, and Rav Gamliel, who is the formal leader, he will darshan 2 weeks. In other words, 2 weeks Rebbe Gamliel and the third week Rebbe Lozer, alternating in that fashion. V'hainu domamar, and it's based on this arrangement that it is said elsewhere, Shabbos shel mi hoisa, an inquiry was whose Shabbos was it and who was leading the drasha, who was saying the public address, shel Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah hoisa, it was the Shabbos of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. You can see we have this phrase in quotation marks to show that it's a quote from elsewhere, but in another place there was this question, whose Shabbos was it? And the answer that they were given was it's Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Shabbos, all in this context of the arrangement, the new arrangement that was made. Now, we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with an indication to look at Chof Zayin Omid, way back to Chof Zayin, Daf Chof Zayin, where there was a Talmud that asked a question concerning Tfilas Arvis. Is it Rishus or Choyva? And the name of the Talmud wasn't revealed at that point. But yet here, the Gemara says, V'oysa Talmud Rav Shimon ben Yochoi Havi, a very famous Torah personality. And it turned out that that Talmud was then apparently young. The student became the famous Rabbi Shimon bar Yochoi. V'shel Musafin Kol Hayom. We saw in our Mishnah that the time for Musaf was all day. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, V'nikro Poishea. One who delays Musaf so long, in other words, that he waits till the end of the day to say Musaf, to daven Musaf, he's considered a Poshea. A Poshea is a person who is reckless and irresponsible. In other words, it would be expected that one should do it much earlier than waiting till the latter part of the day. Granted, it's allowed, but it's still not responsible. Tanu Rabbanan, Hoyu Lefonav Shtei Tfilos. This section of Gemara is something that we have learned already previously. A person who was confronted with two Tfilos, Achas Shel Mincha V'Achas Shel Musaf. It's later in the day, in other words, it's not the morning hours, it's rather afternoon hours, and he has not as yet Daven Musaf, and he has to Daven Mincha as well. So what should he do in terms of order? So the Tanakhama says, Mispalo Shel Mincha V'Achas Mispalo Shel Musaf. He should give precedence to Mincha over the Musaf. Shezu Tadiro V'Zu Eino Tadiro. The Mincha is a daily and hence a more regular davening, a regular Shemon Esrei. The Musaf is at best once a week on Shabbos, so that if you have a person on Shabbos in the afternoon and he has not yet davened Musaf, and it's time for Mincha, daven Mincha first and then Musaf. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mispal Shel Musaf, V'achal Mispal Shel Mincha, Shezu Mitzvah Iveres, V'zu Mitzvah Sheina Overes. Rabbi Yehuda, who said that Musaf can be recited only till the seventh hour of the day, the scenario, and this we have learned before in the Gemara, in Daf Chav Zayin, the scenario whereby you'll have both Tfilos to be recited would be at 12:30 afternoon, and you only have a matter of minutes up to a half hour in which to get in your Tfilas Musaf before time runs out on it. So he will tell you, consistent with his Shita, that such a person should daven Musaf first and then Mincha. The Musaf is called Overus, it's passing, the time is running out. Mincha you still have till quite a bit later in the day. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, halacha, mispalel shel mincha, v'achakach mispalel shel musaf. You can see that Rabbi Yochanan rules unlike Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, he rules like the Rabbanan. Rabbi Zera, ki have a cholish migirsei. Rabbi Zera, when he would get tired from learning is, when done properly, is actually a very strenuous, draining activity. So when he would get tired from it, would seat himself by the entrance to the yeshiva of Rav Nosson Bar Tuvi, Omar, and figuring and saying, Ki chalfi rabbonon, when the rabbonon go by, oz eku mikamai v'kabel agra. Since I'm not learning, so I still don't want to lose out on, we'll call it schar. The Meforshim deal with the issue of how could it be that the great Rabbonim are interested in getting rewards when we have a saying in Maseches Ovis, Al tu kavonim hamashamshim esarav amanas lekabel pras. But we'll leave that discussion aside. There are some nice explanations around this issue. But for the time being, he says, I'm not learning, so at least I want to get reward for fulfilling mitzvahs. And it's interesting to note that what he'll be doing is that when the rabbonon, when the rabbis enter, he'll stand up. That's what he said. Ki chalfi rabbonon, when they pass by, I'll stand up and honor them. So that we're dealing with even though it's not actual Torah learning, nevertheless, it's a form of Kavanah Torah. He's showing honor to Torah by standing up for Torah scholars. Nofak also Rav Nosson Bar Tuvi. And Rav Nosson Bar Tuvi came out, Omar Lei, and Rabbi Zera asked him, Man Omar Halacha Bei Midrasha. Now here we have to add Rashi, because the essential element of this question is not in the words of the Gemara, but the Rashi says, Man Omar Halacha Bei Midrasha, Mi Mibnei HaYeshiva Omar Baveis HaMedrash, Shehalacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. Who of the students assembled, or who of the assembly in the yeshiva said that the halacha will follow Rabbi Yehuda? Omar Lei, so Rav Nosson Bar Tuvi answered, Hochi Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda, Di Omar Mispalel Odom Shel Musav, V'Yachakach Mispalel Shel Mincha. So he says that it was that Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha will not follow Rabbi Yehuda, who had said that one should daven Musaf before Mincha. Rather, one should daven Mincha and then Musaf. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Zera asked Rabbi Yochanan Omra, is that something that Rabbi Yochanan said? Omar Lei in, yep. Tana Mine Arboin Zimin. So Rabbi Zera went over this 40 times. This idea of going over something many times is to make sure that you get it down, that you get it really clear. So he went over it 40 times. Omar Lei, so Rav Nosson says to Rav Zera, Chado hi loch, o chadas hi loch. Let's take a look at Rashi. Chado hi loch, o chadas hi loch. Achas hi, the word chado means one. Achas hi loch shelo lamadet to dover mishmoishu Rabbi Yochanan elo zubuvad. Is it so that you have not heard anything in the name of Rabbi Yochanan except for this? Lekach chavivo hi loch, and that's why it is so dear to you. This is like a big discovery for you that finally you've had a chance to learn a Rabbi Yochanan halach, and that's why you're going over it so many times. Oi! The other word that we saw in the Gemara is chadas. Chadas, you have the tof at the end of the word, is interchangeable with a shin. O chadosha hi loch, something new. What does it mean, new? Sheho yisa sabur she'echod minho achirim omra. Because you thought that someone else had said it, so it's a chiddush to you that it's Rabbi Yochanan that said it. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Zera answers, chadas hi li. This is it's new to me that it's something that Rabbi Yochanan said, because I thought, right, he goes on to say, Mishum de Mesafka li, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I thought that it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi who had said that. The Gemara continues. Actually, before we learn the Gemara, let's glance at the side where we have a topic heading with a structural note. We will see later on this line a volcano shape around Rabbi Yehuda's name, the Rabbi Yehuda. And the issue here is, Ma ne'emar al mi shema'acher tfiloisav alibad Rabbi Yehuda. What is said regarding someone who delays his respective Shemona Esrei's according to the times set down by Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, call him a spalat tefila shel musaf and la'achar sheva shois le'Rebbe Yehuda. Anyone who says musaf after the seventh hour, according to Rebbe Yehuda, olov hakosav oimer, regarding him, it says, nugei mimoyed osafti mimech hoyu. Now, in this Gemara, the word nugei is emphasized, and you see we have diamonds around my mashma, we have explained on this side, my mashma pirushim lemila nuge, but posuk b'tzvanya paragimel posuk yudches. So this posuk is associated with this phenomenon. The word moed, Rashi says, the mimoed machmas sheheviru moade hatfilos. Moed has to do with times. So since they delayed or they passed the time of the tefila, hatfilos v'chagim. You nugim v'asufim v'kalim. We'll see right now that the word nuge has to do with elimination or destruction. So that people who you have a very harsh comment made here, that those who delay Musaf after 7 hours, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's you can't daven at that point anymore, Musaf. So the Pasuk says, Nugei Moira Safti Mechoyu, the Gemara Smai Mashmad Ai Nugei Lishno de Tavrahu. From where do we know that the word Nugei indicates smashing, something that's going to be smashed? Kinematagram Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef explains, on this Pasuk, Tavra Osi Al Sinein de Beis Yisrael. Tavra is breaking or smashing, shall befall the enemies of Israel, and it's a euphemism when we say the enemies of Israel. Al diichuz mani madaya the Rishlaim, because of their having delayed the times of the festivals, and Musaf is associated with festivals, with holidays, and as a result of delaying these matters, so destruction comes upon them. Omer Belozer, kol mispal tefila shel shachris la'achar arba shosar biyuda. Someone who davens shachris, the Shemoneh Esrei of the morning, after 4 hours, according to Reb Yehuda, which is the deadline for him, is the fourth hour, and then you go and daven later than that. Olav hakosav omer, nuge mimoyed osafti mimeich oyu. The same pasuk, however, here the understanding of the word nuge is a bit different. My mashma dehai nuge lishno de tsarahu. From where are we to learn that the word nugei means tsar, pain or suffering? So that what this is saying is that one who delays shachris after the fourth hour, according to Reb Yehuda, so suffering will befall them. Dechtiv, dolfa nafshi mituga, which is a pasuk associated with pain. From the following, you can see this idea. Besulos nugois vihi mar law. So again, you have the word Nugos, or in the previous pasuk, in the form mituga, indicating tsar. Now, you might ask the question, why, in the case of someone who delays Musaf, do you see the lashon of smashing, and one who delays Shachris, you have a lighter expression, namely pain, but not smashing? So the Marsha deals with this difference, and we can mention that there's a difference between Musaf and the shachris, is that missing Musaf, one has no makeup for it. It's a total loss. Hence, the harsher language associated with that, as opposed to missing shachris. So there is makeup for that. We continue on the top of Amid Beis. Rav Avia Cholash v'lo also the Pirkei Rav Yosef. Rav Acha felt weak on a particular occasion, and he didn't come to the shiur, to the lecture, the Torah lecture of Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef, as Rashi points out, used to hold forth on Shabbos before the Musaf davening. In many congregations to this very day, the rabbi gets up and offers a speech before the Musaf Shmon Esrei. So Rav Avia didn't show up. Lamocher ki osa, the next day when Rav Avia came to Rav Yosef, bo Abaye lanuchi daitid Rav Yosef. Abaye anticipated a somewhat strained situation where Rav Yosef would be upset on Rav Avia's absence, let's say yesterday on Shabbos, and Rabbi wanted to intervene so as to placate the potential wrath of Rav Yosef, to preempt that situation. Amalei, so Abaye says to Rav Avia, my time will also more lepirka, why didn't you show up? Amalei, Rav Avia says, Dehavi cholish liboy v'lomatzina, I felt a feeling of weakness. Literally, my heart was weak, and I couldn't come. Amalei, so Abaye says, Amai lo tams midi vosis, why didn't you eat something? You would have gained strength from that. Amalei, so Rav Avia says back, lo somar lo mor lo ha de Rav Huna, do you not hold from Rav Huna's teaching? Dem Rav Huna osur lo adam shitam klum kodim shispal tefilas musafin. Rav Huna, later we'll see that not everyone agrees with this, but Rav Huna says it's osur to eat or even to taste something before davening musaf. Omalei, so Abai says, iboyele lo mor litzluyet sloisa de musafin biyochid velito midi velemesi. So you should have, granted that the shul musaf is going to be later, but look, you ended up missing the drasha. You know what you should have done? You should have daven musaf by yourself, biyochid, and then eaten something. Omale, so Rav Avia says back, do you not hold from Rabbi Yochanan's teaching that says Osur lo laodom shiaktim tfilosu l'tfilas atzibur, that it's forbidden for a person to daven before the congregation? And your suggestion is that I should have davened Musaf earlier before everyone else and then come to the shir. Amale, so Rabbi says, I know that teaching of Rabbi Yochanan, but the Hesber, the explanation is, Lav itmar alomer Rabbi Abba, is it not so that Rabbi Abba said concerning Rabbi Yochanan's law, but Sibur Shanu, that applies only to someone that's in a shul already, and the public is not ready to daven Musaf, and he stands up and davens Musaf before everyone else around him. But you weren't in the shul, you were private, and you could have daven privately, eaten something, and then come to the shir. The less hilchasa, the Gemara, though, rules, loy kiravhuna velo kiravishu ben Levi. Kiravhuna haldamon, regarding the halacha of Ravhuna that we will not follow, is Ravhuna's teaching that it's usher to eat before Musaf. And we'll tell you it's not usher to eat before Musaf. Kiravishu ben Levi, what is his teaching that we will not follow? The Omer of Yeshua ben Levi came on, she gives man tefilas ha-mincha, asur lo-odom she-yitom klum kodim she-spal tefilas ha-mincha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that when the time comes during which a person could daven mincha, and that could be as early as 12:30 afternoon, it would be forbidden for a person to eat anything before davening mincha. So our Gemara is saying that we are not going to follow that restriction, but rather it might be advisable to daven mincha, but even if you didn't daven mincha that early in the afternoon, you are entitled to eat. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we mentioned, we have a topic heading, Tfilas Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona b'chnisoso v'yitziyoso mibeis hamedrash. This is a prayer. We will learn about his prayer upon entrance and exit from the Beis Medrash, from Torah learning. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona mispalo b'chnisoso beis hamedrash, also tfilah ksara. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, upon entrance and upon and after exiting the Beis Medrash, or upon exiting the Beis Medrash, he would say a short tfilah, a short prayer. Amru lo ma mokum l'tfilazu. What's the nature of this tfilah? Amar lahem. So he told them, b'chnisosi ani mispalish l'ero dvar tekol al yodi. Upon my entrance, I pray that I should not be responsible for any mistake in takolului, causing someone to stumble. In other words, I'm praying that I don't make a mistake in my Torah learning and Torah rulings. Upon my exit, I thank the Almighty for my portion in Torah learning. And now we have an elaboration of that. Tanu Rabbanan, here you will see the actual text in a more elaborate form. We've used a diamond form to highlight the two texts, the entrance text and the exit text. B'chnisoso, Tanu Rabbanan, b'chnisoso ma omer, upon entrance, what would he say? Hence, could he even ask, say, what should one say? Yihi rotzon milfonecha, Hashem Elokai, should be the will of the Almighty, shelo yerad v'atakol al yodi, that some stumbling or mistake should not happen through me. V'lo ekoshel b'dvar halacha, and I shouldn't stumble in a halacha related matter. V'yismachu b'chaveray, and the problem here, according to Rashi's pshat, is that if I stumble, it could give rise to my friends, those around me, to be happy that here he made a mistake. That's one pshat. In the Meforshim, there are other pshatim to this, but we're going to stay with the Rashi for now. There is a type of human nature of those, when you have, we'll say, competing forces, everyone's striving to advance their impression of what is true, so that if I fail in my attempt and I stumble, the fear is that those around me will be happy about that. And Rashi points out, "V'lo ekoshel v'yismuchu chaverai al kishloni." That if someone rejoices over the failure of his friend, they deserve punishment. So I don't want to be the cause of their rejoicing over my mistake, and hence they will be punished for that. Continuing, and here, what are examples of making a mistake? V'lo omar, I shouldn't come to say al tomei tor, something that's actually tomei and rule tor, or the opposite, v'lo al tor tomei. V'lo ikoshlu chaverai bedvar halacha v'esmach b'hem. And I also pray, the prayer also says that I should not, my friends shouldn't err in their rulings, and then I become joyful over that. Bitsi also ma'omer, upon exit, what would he say? Moida nilfunach Hashem Elokai, I thank the Almighty, she samta chalki mirshvei beis ha-meshvei, samta chalki mirshvei kronos, that you entitled me to a portion amongst those that occupy the base medrash, the Torah study halls, and not those that sit on corners or on stoops. Shani mashkim vehei mashkimim. Both of us arise early. Ani mashkim ledivrei Torah, ve'mashkim ledvarim betelim. I rise early to study Torah, and they rise early for emptiness. Ani omel ve'hem amelim. I toil, and they toil. Ani omel u'mekabel schar, ve'hem amelim ve'hem mekabel schar. I toil and receive reward, and they toil and don't receive reward. Ani rotz ve'hem rotzim. We both run. Ani rotz l'chayol ma'bo. I run to an everlasting life. Ve'im rotzim leber shachas. And they're running to eventual purgatory. There is much more to say on the details of this particular text, but in the context of our daf yomi shir, we continue. Tanu rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that involves two incidents, two stories. And we have a double underline which features the headings or the beginnings of these two incidents. And the topic heading on the side, we see under our Nosei Mivne heading, Keshecholu Rebbe Lozer veRebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai Ma Omru leTalmidehem, when these two towering Torah personalities took ill and were in the throes of death, what did they say to their students? So, the Gemara. Kishecholo Rabbi Lazar nichnesu talmidav levakra. When he took ill, his students came to visit him. Omrulo, Rabbeinu, they said to him, Master, lamdeinu orchis chayim v'nizke b'en l'chayilom abo. Teach us the ways of life, and through that we will merit the life in the future life. Omar lohem, izaru b'chvod chavirechem. He says to them, be careful with regard to the respect due one to the other. Uminu b'necha mina igoyon, and restrain your children from overindulging in the study of the Torah Shebiksav, through the study of Tanakh. There are other pshatim, but Rashi's pshat is the first of his pshatim is lo targilum b'mikra yoser midai mishum demosh chodon. Have them too involved with the pshat, with the learning mikra. Now, I saw in the Meforshim that when you're dealing with young kids, their level of mikra learning will be superficial and too much. When in fact the real understanding of Tanakh is not through the simple translation. That's something that even the Gentiles have adopted. When you will be missing, and you'll be getting things really wrong if you spend time on the simple pshat of psukim without the inclusion of the meforshim, which are based on Torah Shebaal Peh. And young children are not of age to deal with the deeper and more analytical explanations of Tanakh, so that at that age they shouldn't spend much time on it, because they're going to be getting things really messed up. And the second pshat, Rashi says, to to restrain them from misichas yilodim, from too much time and childish talk. Vahoshivum ben birkei tamidei chachamim, and make sure that your children are placed literally on the knees of Torah scholars. In other words, according to the Meforshim that I saw, you might ask, well, if you're dealing with a young kid who's too young to delve into deep Torah learning, sugyas of Torah Shebaal Peh, and you're telling me not to expose them to Tanakh, so what should they do? So the answer to that is, don't worry about their not getting proper instruction or proper guidance, because you will be keeping them, you'll be putting them in the presence of Talmidei Chachamim. So they'll see the Torah life by being in their presence. Continuing in the Gemara, Ukshatem Espalim, and when you daven, do lifnei mi atem oivdim, know in front of whom you are standing, and the knowledge that you're standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, in front of the Almighty, will improve and increase the amount of awe and concentration. Following these things, you will merit the world to come. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took ill, so his students came in to visit him. When he saw them, he started to cry. His Talmidim responded to him and said, "Ner Yisrael, Amud Hayamini Patish Achozok, the candle of Israel, the source of light of Israel, Amud Hayamini, the right pillar." There's an analogy here to the pillars that were at the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a right pillar and a left pillar, the right being more important. So he's referred to as the right pillar of Israel, the Patish HaChazak, the strong hammer. Divrei Torah, it says regarding Divrei Torah, Chafatish Yefoitzit Sela. So the term hammer is found in the context of Divrei Torah, the strong hammer. Why are you crying? Omar Lohem, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai answered, Imu Lifnei Melech Basar Vadam Hayu Molichen Osi. If I were to be brought in front of a mortal king for judgment, and about mortal kings we can say, Shayom Kan Mocha Bekever, today they're here, tomorrow they're dead in the grave. Shimkoye Salein Kasa Kasa, and if he gets angry with me, his anger isn't permanent. And if he incarcerates me, it's not an incarceration for eternity. And if he decides, if a mortal king decides to execute me, it's an execution, but it's not an eternal execution. And I can actually appease him, even if I see that there's a negative verdict coming in my direction. I can appease him with words. I can pay him money. I can bribe him. In other words, I have ways of saving myself from the wrath of a mortal king. And Falpi Kain, and even with all that known, Hoyisi Boiche, if I were to be brought to a mortal king for judgment, I would cry out of fear of the judgment. The Achshav Shemalichan Asiyat Melech Malchei Amlochem Rosh Baruch Hu, and now that I am being brought in, because in death, after death, one is judged. Shehu, the Almighty, is Chai V'Kaim Le'olam Olamim, is permanently alive. Sheim Koyes Olai Kasa Kasa Olam, and if he expresses wrath over me, his wrath, it could be eternal. V'im Yisrani Yisuro Yisuro Olam, if I'm incarcerated, it's permanent. V'im Yisim Yisos Olam Yisos Olam, and if he decides to kill me, his killing, his execution is permanent. V'ein Yochol Efais V'dvorim V'lo Shachtu V'momon, and in Olam Habo, as opposed to Olam Hazeh, where a person in Olam Hazeh can daven, he can pray, and he can give tzedakah, use money to change the verdict, but not in Olam Habo. And I'm going now to that next world where I can't sweet talk my way out of things, and I can't pay off I can't use money to pay off the judge. V'lo oyd ela sheyesh lefanai shnei drachim achashol gan eden v'achashol gehenim. And furthermore, if you're asking why I'm crying, I'm standing in front of at a crossroads, two paths, one leading to to Gan Eden, to the Garden of Eden, to eternal reward, but the other leading to purgatory. And I don't know which path I'm going to be taking. Lo evke, what, and I shouldn't cry. There's what to cry about. This passage needs a great deal more explanation, because you're dealing here with a major one of the greatest of our people, Reuven ben Zakkai. How could it be that after investing all of his life into that which is expected of a person, how could he be in this quandary, so to speak, in this state of fear? But let us leave that aside, be something to research. But nevertheless, there's a very powerful message just on the superficial text of this Gemara, how judgment day in the world to come is no light matter. Omru lo, so the students said, Rabbeinu Borchenu, they said, Master, will you bless us? Omar lahem, so he said to them, Yiratzon, it should be the will of the Almighty Shteimuru Shamayim Aleichem Kemur Basar Adam, that you should have the fear of heaven upon you like you have the fear of man. Amru lo tamid of Ad Kan, well, that's it. He would expect that the fear of heaven should be upon us more than the fear of man. Amru lahem ulavai, it should only be, like I said, that you should have the fear of heaven upon you, at least like the fear of man. Even if it's not more, but like it. Teidu, kishalim uvavera, when a person is about to do a sin, he says, Shalo yirani odam. Oh, as long as no person sees me. Ah, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu sees you. The Almighty sees you. So, generally speaking, people don't take that into consideration. And that doesn't stop them. What would stop them? If a person would see them. So, hence, I'm saying that you should have the fear of the Almighty like the fear of people. And that, then, even when no one is watching you, you would not do the Avera because of the knowledge that the Almighty is watching you. B'sh'as p'tiros omar lahem, he felt that his soul was about to leave his body, so at that moment he said to them, Ponu kelim b'nei atuma, clear out the vessels from the house, so that after I'm dead, there would be tumas meis, and the vessels in the house would become tome. So because of they become tummy because they're in the same overshadow, the same roof, under the same roof, which we call oil amei. So get the vessels out of here because of that. V'chinu kisir Chizkio melch Yehuda Sheba, and prepare a chair for King Chizkio, who is going to greet me and accompany me to Olam Haba. I saw in the Meforshim that the parallel between these two figures is that in just like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai in his generation was the one most responsible for preserving Torah knowledge and Torah learning. In hundreds of years before, in the time of Chizkio HaMelech, he also was known for that role of preserving the Torah to the extent that the Gemara says there were no children from Don Ad Be'er Sheva that were not proficient in the laws of Tumah and Tara. Mishnah. Rabban Gamliel Omer b'chol yoyim v'yoyim mispal odom shmoyne esrei. Every day a person is expected to say 18 brachas, what we call a full shmoyne esrei. Rabbi Yeshua Omer mi'ein shmoyne esrei. Rabbi Yeshua says that the person's daily obligation is of an abbreviated shmoyne esrei. Rabbi Akiva Omer im shgura tfilosu b'fiv mispal odom shmoyne esrei. We probably should assume here that you're dealing without a printed siddur, so that Rabbi Akiva says if someone has fluency in the text, so he should say the whole thing, v'im lav, and if not, me'ein shmoneh esrei, then say the abbreviated version. Rabbi Elazar omer oisit tfiloso keva, ein tfiloso tachanunim. This term, keva, could have different, there are different explanations possible for this. One who makes it routine. On a keva literally is a fixed, constant basis. meaning he turns his tefillah into a routine, ein tefillah so tachnunim, so the quality of his tefillah won't be one of real mercy seeking. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Haluch Mokom Sakono, a person who finds himself in a place of danger, Mispalot Tefillah Ketzara, he should say the following short prayer. The Omer and say, Hoisha Hashem es Amcha es Sherus Yisrael, so the turning to the Almighty to save his nation, the remnants of Israel, B'chol Parashas Yibor Yitzorcheim Lefanecha. Parashas Yibor will be explained later in the Gemara. And at all those times of Parashas Yibor, their needs should be in front of you. Boruch Ato Hashem Shomea Tfila. Hoya Rochev Al Hachamor, a person who was riding on a donkey, and it's time to daven. Yered Vispalel, he should get off the donkey and daven. Not pray while sitting on the donkey. V'imein yochol yered, if he can't get off, because there's no one to hold the animal, Yachsiras Ponav, he should turn facing Yerushalayim and pray that way. V'imein yochol Yachsiras Ponav, if he, for some reason, he can't turn facing, physically facing Yerushalayim, Yechaven es libo keneged beis kodesh hakodeshim, then his mindset, his concentration should be in the direction he should be thinking about the base Kodesh Kodeshim. In other words, he should perceive himself as standing in the Holy of Holies while he davens. Hoy mahalich b'sfino ba'asto, yichaven es libo keneged beis Kodesh Kodeshim. A person is on a boat or an asto. There are different pshatim. What an asto is, one is possibly that he's incarcerated and he doesn't have a sense of direction, or he's on a raft. In both of these cases, or both of these situations, Sfina Asta is a situation where he doesn't have a sense of direction. So Yechavin es libo keneged beis kodesh hakodeshim, he should at least focus his heart toward the Holy of Holies in the Beis HaMikdash. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the sign under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We have a triangle featured, and you'll notice a triangle here, and these markings continue on Chof Tes Amid Aleph as well. These are Shmoyne Esrei Brachos de Shmoyne Esrei Keneged Mi, the Od, in honor of whom were the 18 Brachos, was the number 18 decided upon. The Oid Misparim Shel Brachos Shel Amidah Shel Shabbos V'Chagim, and we'll deal also with the number of Brachos that constitute the Shabbos and holiday Shmona Esrays. So first we deal with 18, which is characteristic of the daily Shmona Esrei. Later we'll deal with the number 7 that you find on a Shabbos and holiday Shmona Esrays. There are other numbers. There are 9 brachas on the Rosh Hashanah Musaf Shmona Esrei, and there are 24 brachas on a public fast day that was practiced in the time of the Gemara. The Gemara here, Tani Shmona Esrei Keneged Mi, in honor of whom were 18 brachas established. Amar Rav Hillel, Breder of Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Keneged Yudches Askor Shema David, in honor of the 18 names of Hashem, Askaros, a reference to the name of the Kodesh Baruch, the name of the Almighty. Shamar David Behovu Lashem B'nei Elim, in the paragraph of Tehillim, known as Hovu Lashem B'nei Elim, there are 18 times that the name of Hashem appears there. This paragraph is actually the source or the remez for the different brachos that are said in the Shmona Esrei, as Rashi points out over here. The 18 associated with this paragraph of Tehillim, Perek Chof Tes, that's the first pshat in what the basis for the 18 is. A second of 3 pshatim, the second Rav Yosef Omar Keneged Shmesra Askor Shabbat Kriyashma, in honor of the 18 times the name of the Almighty appears in Kriyashma. Rav Tanchum Omar Bishuben Levi Omar Keneged Shmoinisri Chuyos Shebeshedra, in honor of the 18 vertebrae in one's spine. And the spine is associated with the bowing that one does in the Shmona Esrei, as will be evident later in the Gemara. The Omar of Tanchum Omar Bishuben Levi, this Shita of Tanchum is the one that just mentioned the 18 associated with the vertebrae. So he says, "Hamispal tzorch yifra ad shispaku kochus shebeshedra." One who bows and there is bowing that's necessary in the Shmoneh Esrei. So we should bow to a curve or a bowing until the vertebrae in his spine become visible through his skin. That when one bows, it puts pressure on the skin and the vertebrae become visible. Ula Omar ad kidei shira isur keneged libo. Rashi says isar shnei kemotim. There are two folds in skin. Echad milamato veechad milamalo uki isar roichav boser v'emtza. And a flap of skin that has an isar is a coin that has a certain size, and a fold of skin that's in the middle. So that it's an amount it's a certain level of bending that this bodily phenomenon would take place. A third approach, Rabbi Chinuno Amar, Kivon Shinianea Baroshoi, as soon as a person bends his head, Shuv Eino Tzorach, he doesn't have to bend anymore. Omar Ravavu de Mitzayer Navshe Umersi Commander Kora. It's not just a mere nodding of the head, but the person bends his head, creating an impression that he is attempting to bend, but it's with difficulty. Rashi says the mitzayer nafshe shu nikur shechofetz l'chol shu mitzayer. He wants to bend, but it's difficult for him. So we say that the fact that he bent his head with this expression or feeling of difficulty, that is enough. The Gemara asks, Hani tamni sorry chasri havin. What do you mean 18 brachas? If you count them, you'll find there are 19 brachas. Amar Rabbi Levi, Birkas Hatzedukim Biyavna Tiknua, the bracha that we call the Lamo Shinim, which is a bracha in which we pray to the Almighty to rid us of the evil ones, was established many, many years later in the Torah city of Yavne. Well, okay, so we understand there are 18 basic brachas which date way back to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, which was a body that existed during the second Beis HaMikdash. Yavne was many years later, during which a 19th bracha was established. So we ask, Keneged Mi Tiknua, and you'll notice we have a dashed triangle because this is we'll call it a subcategory, if you will. It's an extra bracha in honor of what was this established. And once again, you will see three pshatim, and they're numbered off, and they parallel the three we saw before. So, Amar Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Levi explains, Le Rabbi Hillel, Rabbi Breder of Shmuel Rachmeni, Keneged, Kael HaKavod Hirim. It's a pasuk also in Tehillim Choftes, where another name of the Kodesh Baruch appears, the name Kael. So that's a 19th reference of name-wise to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rav Yosef, according to Rav Yosef, who mentioned 18, the 18 brachas were keneged, were in honor of the 18 references to Hashem in the Kriya Shema, so he says, keneged echod shebe Kriya Shema. The last word of the first pasuk, the word echod, is honored by this extra bracha in the Shmona Esrei. And the Rav Tanchum, Om Rav Yeshua ben Levi, keneged chuyuk tana shebe Shedra. This is in honor of the small vertebrae in one's spine. The continuation of the Gemara deals with the Birkas Hatzadukim, this bracha that we call Vamalshinim, and if you look at the text of Vamalshinim, you'll see that it's a prayer in which we pray for the smashing and destruction of the wicked ones. And maybe more accurately, when we say wicked ones, we're referring to the heretics. Tana Rabbanan Shimon Apokuli Hizdir Shmoneser Brochus Vergamliel Al Haseder Biavne. Shimon Apokuli, he set up the order of the brochus. The text existed much earlier than Rabbi Gamliel's time, in Yavne. However, he set the order. He established the order. Amalem Rabbi Gamliel Lachachomim Klum Yesh Odom Shedei Latakim Brochus Hatzadukim. Gamliel turned to the assembly and said, assembly of sages, is there anyone here who would know how to establish a proper text for this bracha? We call Birchas HaTzedukim the bracha against the heretics. Amad Shmuel HaKotan V'tikna, Shmuel HaKotan arose, and he was known as a a very pious individual. The Gemara in Sanhedrin points out how great this man was, and he arose and established it. L'shana acheres shochecha, the next year, he forgot it. He was serving as the shliach tzibor, and they were waiting 2-3 hours, and they did not remove him from the position of shliach tzibor. The Gemara asks, and what we're going to be doing in the next several lines of Gemara is using a volcano shape, which will be flipping back and forth in its position, and this is in order to keep track of the give and take nature of this particular section. So we should point out that we're at the top of the second line from the top of Chof Tes Amar Aleph. The Gemara asks a question that lasts 4 lines. Amai lo heluhu. Why did they not remove him? The Amar of Yudah Marav. We've double underlined this name because we have another memra of his later on which is associated with this. So did he not say if the shliach tzibur, the leader of the davening, made a mistake or forgot any of the other brachas, so we don't remove him. If it's a mistake, and like we have over here, he forgot the text in Birchas HaTzedukim, we will remove him because we are fearful that maybe this Shliach Tzibur is actually a heretic and he doesn't want to daven, he doesn't want to pray for his own destruction. So that being the case, why didn't they remove Shmuel HaKotan? The Gemara says, Shaini Shmuel HaKotan di'iu tikna. Shmuel HaKotan is different. He's the one that established the bracha so that we wouldn't suspect him of being a heretic. He formulated the text. The Gemara asks, V'nechus de'mohadar bei. Good, he may have formulated the text, but maybe he went off. Maybe as time went by, he dropped out and he turned his back on proper Judaism. So we have a response. You notice how this volcano shape flipped over. Omar Abaye. And we've highlighted Abaye's name because we want to contrast him with Rava, who is noted with the same form later on with this house shape. So Abaye says, Gemiri, we have a tradition, Tova lo have a bisha. Someone who is tov, is good, doesn't go bad. So that this chashash of Shmuel HaKotan going bad is unfounded. The Gemara asks, "Velo, what? If someone who is good can't go bad? Velo, v'hoksiv uveshuv tzadik mitzidkosu v'osu ovel." The pasuk says clearly the tzadik who turns away and does sin. The Gemara says, "No, hahu rasha meikoro." The pasuk that you just cited, the Gemara answers this pasuk is a reference to someone who started off as a rasha, started off as a wicked person, who did tshuva, and then went back to becoming evil. So it's a reference to that middle stage that he was a tzaddik, and then goes back to his old ways. Avot tzaddik meikoro lo, and we've dashed on the list because we want to concentrate on this point as we go on in the Gemara. However, however, the Gemara is answering that someone who initially was pious won't go bad. And of course, we're not saying there's no tzaddik bar tzasher yasatov lo yechta. You don't have a person who sin free. But we're talking about a fundamental, a root type change, as opposed to your basic or common sinning phenomenon. So someone who is a tzaddik doesn't go bad. The Gemara asks, "Velo, is that really so?" V'ha tnan, the Mishnah says, "Al tam nasuchad yoy moscho." A person should not have self confidence until the day of his death. Self confidence in the sense of a feeling that he is that he's perfect or that he can't go bad until the day of death. Shari Yochanan Kohen Gadol Shimei Shmuel Gadol Shmoinim Shana. Here you have an extreme case, someone who served as Kohen Gadol for 80 years, and he was obviously a tzaddik, being that he was a Kohen Gadol for such a long time, ulebesoif nasa tzeduki, and at the end of his days he went off the path. He became a tzeduki. Tzeduki is a person of questionable allegiance, we'll say, to put things lightly. V'omar Abaye, and Abaye explains, Hu Yanai, Hu Yochanan. Abaye says that this case is someone who really was an evil person. He started off, he was Yanai, who was known to have killed the Chachmei Israel, who at some point became pious and then went bad again. Rava Omar, Yanai Lechud V'Yochanan Lechud. Rava, on the other hand, says they're two separate individuals. Yanai Rosh Meikoro. Yanai was someone who was wicked from the outset. V'Yochanan Tzadik Meikoro. And Yochanan was someone who started off as a pious individual and later on went off the path. Well, Honicha L'Abaye. As far as Abaye is concerned, so Abaye, who said Tova Lo Havi Bisha, there's no problem here. That which Yochanan Kohen Gadol went bad is no kasha, because he started off, as Abaye said, he started off as someone wicked. Elo l'Rava kasha, but according to Rava, this case of Yochanan Kohen Gadol presents a problem to that which we said earlier, that a person who's a tzaddik meikara doesn't go bad. According to Rava, Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a tzaddik meikara, and yet he did go bad. Omar loch Rava. Rava answers simply questioning the whole premise. He says, tzaddik meikara nami dilma hadarbe. Who says that a tzaddik meikara can't go bad? Tzaddik meikara also can go bad. He can turn away. Well, if that's the case, so then, according to Rava, why didn't they remove Shmuel HaKotan? According to Abaye, the reason they didn't remove him, because Abaye held Tova Lo Havibisha. Someone who starts off as Tov doesn't go bad. And that was the case of Shmuel HaKotan. But according to Rava, someone who starts off as good could go bad. Why didn't they remove him? Answer, Shaini Shmuel HaKotan, the Aschil Ba. Shmuel HaKotan, in that particular moment that it said he forgot the Birchas HaTzadikim, is a case where he actually started the text and then halted in the middle. The Yom Rav Yehuda Marav, Vitemer Rav Yehuda ben Levi, Rav Yehuda Marav, some say Rav Yehuda ben Levi, says, Lo Shanu, the teaching that we remove him, is Lo Shanu Elo Shelo Hischil Ba. That's only if he didn't start the text. Aval Hischil Ba, if he started the text of the Birchas HaTzedukim, Gomra, he is entitled to finish it. In other words, and we don't remove him. And as a result of this, we now understand why they didn't remove Shmuel HaKotan. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.